Because if I tell my wife, what is she going to make me do? Yeah, yeah. All right. So he didn't tell his wife. And a couple weeks go by, and he's at the church for a morning meeting. The meeting's wrapped up, and it's actually a men's prayer, sort of like what we do. So he's outside, and he's with the one guy that he's been friends with for a long time. And he opens the car door, and he's standing next to his friend. And that happens again. He blacks out, faints, okay? And my friend's a big guy. He's kind of got a big belly. And his friend grabs him, and he kind of wakes up, you know, blink, blink, blink. And his friend says, "Hey, what happened there? Has that ever happened before?" And he said, "Well, yeah, once." And then he said, the good friend, this is a good friend, "Did you tell your wife?" Good friends tell you that. So he goes, "No, I didn't tell him." He says, "Listen, you tell her or I'm going to get on the phone." So, and he stands there and he didn't move. So he had to get on the phone and call his wife. And the wife said, "Stay where you are. I'm coming right now. We're going to take you to the emergency room." So his wife picks him up and they're going to the emergency room. And of course, they say, "Hey, let's pray." So they pray. They grab the promise of God, like Isaiah 53, Jesus took our infirmities, carried our diseases, and 1 Peter 2:24, "With his stripes we're healed." And he said, they pray that prayer. They grab hold of that, and they say, "Hey, listen, God, don't know what the problem is, but I thank you that you are working in my life, and I give you praise in Jesus' name." So that's all while they're driving. His wife's driving, and he said, "You know, it was really interesting while you're in this process." He said, "My brain was doing whirlies, like, what if it's a heart attack? What if I have clogged arteries? What if this and what if that?" And he said, "These were these thoughts." Anybody have those crazy whirly thoughts that go through your brain? He said, "These were the thoughts that are going through my brain. And I did something so they would not take me to the ground. I did something and that brought me and kept me in hope." And that's what we're going to talk about. But the rest of the story goes, they get to the emergency room. 5 hours later, they have done every test under the sun. And they're like, "I don't know what it is. And we're a little concerned because we can't figure it out. So we want you to spend the night." Which I was really surprised because I know this guy. So he spent the night. The next morning, he gets up. And they're doing more tests. And then the big doctor comes in, you know, the big wig one. And he goes, "You know, hey, Jay, I don't know what's the matter. We really can't figure it out, but let me ask you a question. What happened? What were you doing that first time it happened?" So my friend Jay goes, he says, "Well, I did my usual. I got up early in the morning. I had my big cup of tea, hibiscus tea with 2 tea bags in it. I drank it, and then I got in the car, and because I had this drive, you know, going to go with my wife, and I filled up my 20-ounce container, and I threw 2 more tea bags in there." And the doctor started chuckling. And then he said, "So what about that second time it happened? What were you doing?" He says, "Well, you know, I got up in the morning. I did my, you know, my Bible thing. And I had my 2 tea bags. And then I got my big 20-ounce with through 2 more tea bags." And the doctor chuckled. And he said, "I know exactly what happened." The story goes is that the doctor, the bigwig, was from China, had his training in China to be a doctor, and they do herbal medicine training, not like we do over here, or some do, okay? And he started laughing. He says, "I know exactly what happened." He said, "Hibiscus tea, if just 1 tea bag will lower your blood pressure. And you done did 4 of them. And that is why you fainted and blacked out." He said, "1 tea bag in the morning and maybe 1 tea bag at night." All right. So the reason why I tell you this story is because it wasn't a terrible thing. It could have been. It turned out okay, right? 1 tea bag. Everybody say moderation, all right? But the reason why I tell you this is he still had to deal with those crazy thoughts. Oh, my gosh. Maybe I'm having a heart attack. Oh my gosh, this could be a stroke. He still had to do the crazy thoughts. And we all have to do them when we run into problems. And some of you guys got some problems going on in your life. Anybody? Just me. All right? And, you know, and if you're in school, where's my school guys? They're kind of downstairs, I guess. You're in school and you got this COVID thing. And it has created problems in school, hasn't it? And maybe you're a senior and you're thinking, this stinking thing has just ruined my whole senior year, right? Okay, and maybe you're got some financial things, problems going on, all right? And it can just take you down because you're looking at your checkbook, right? And the problem is we run into these problems. The problem is, yeah, right, we run into these problems, and unless we've got our head, our roots in God's promises, it will steal our peace. It'll steal our hope. And it just tries to suck the life out of you, okay? And I've been there, done it. I think I'm getting a little bit better, okay? So I want to talk about hope eternal so that when we do run into problems, how do I have hope while I'm going through them? All right, so write this down. This is our main idea. This is our big idea for the day. And if you're new here and you're like, what does she mean, main idea, big idea? This is the one thing I want you just to stick to your guts like oatmeal. That'll take you through the whole day. I love oatmeal, okay? And it goes like this. You can write this down. God's promises believed. Everybody say believed. Okay, we're going to get to that. God's promises believed eliminates hopelessness seen. God's promises believed eliminates hopelessness seen. Okay, so what's the scene? What's the scene? The scene is the problem. The scene is the storm you're in, and you've done everything you can, and you can't get out of it. You can't see how you're getting out of it. Has anybody been in the middle of a problem, and you're like, I can't see anything. I don't have any hope we'll ever get out of this mess. I've had just one or two of those in my life, right? So, the problem, when you have the problem and you can't see hope to get out of the problem, it'll spiral you into fear and anxiety. And if you're in fear and anxiety, you don't have peace, and baby, you don't have hope because you're in fear and anxiety. But listen, if you can get into a place with hope, that fear and anxiety has to go out the door. It does. It won't stay. It won't stay. So let's talk about the first part. God's promises believed. Everybody say believed. So week one, we talked a lot about this in Hebrews, where we said that God's promises, okay, you find them in here, will anchor your soul. You'll anchor your soul. That's your emotional system. That's your emotions, okay? God's promises will anchor your soul, okay? And we said that God made promises from one end of the Bible and the other. And in Hebrews, he says to Abraham, I promise and I swear by myself that I'll take care of the promise. I mean, I've got a lot of guarantees on gizmos and gadgets. But, you know, you go read the fine print. And they're like, it's only good for 5 years, or it's only good as long as you own it. God says, I've got promises, and I guarantee that I'll keep the promise. That's better than my refrigerator warranty guarantee. I just got a thing in the mail. If you give me another $99, it'll be good for 3 years. I'm like, what? Okay, so the promises of God will anchor your emotional system, right? Okay. So if we can learn the promise, if we can believe the promise, it'll anchor us and we'll have hope. And we will be able to walk through, not spazzing out, splat on the floor. Okay. Just occasionally, I have splat on the floor. Okay. So I am growing in this, and I'm encouraging all of you this, all righty? So let me give you a good scripture. Turn over, every scripture is good, right? Turn over to Isaiah 40. So God's promises believed will give us hope that endures, all righty? And I hate to pop your bubbles on this one, but life doesn't change. Life is going to always throw curveballs at you after curveball after curveball. Because life, they may look different, but that's it. We lived on a cursed earth, and soon Satan will be chained up forever. But right now, he is notorious for throwing stuff at you, okay? He's throwing problems at us. So listen to this, Isaiah. Isaiah 40, verse 28. Here we go. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of earth. And I'm going, everybody say, yeah, I know that. That's Bible 101, right? You know that? And if you've taught in preschool, you know that. We've done that one, all right? Now, here's the part I want to get to, this next part. He will not grow tired or weary. This is not talking about physical. This is talking about emotional. So God's not going to grow tired or weary. That means he's not going to wake up and goes, man, I am tired of y'all. I just quit. Or, oh my gosh, I just can't take it. I'm done helping them out. God never grows tired or weary. And some of you are going, well, duh, Pastor D, that's God. What about me? Okay, here comes the answer. Verse 29. He gives the strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. All right. Again, this is not physical. Like, I just ran a 5K and I am just exhausted. It's not talking about physical. It's talking about emotional. All right. And anybody ever be emotionally just worn out? Just like, I'm tired. I can't do this. I'm done with this. All right. So he's talking about he will give strength and power and his ability to those that are weak and weary. So you know what? It's okay. I've had days, just be honest with God. He already knows your mail anyway. God, I can't do this. I'm done. And then you go read this promise. He will give me strength because I'm weary. And then I just tell him, well, God, I'm asking and I'm thanking. Okay. So he's going to give strength to the weary and his ability and his power. And because he does that, now I have hope. Everybody say, I have hope. Not because I'm not going to do it, but because he said he'll give me the power and the strength and his ability. So now I have hope. And now read verse 30. It says, excuse me, oh, I don't have verse 30. I cut it off. You guys popping it up? Okay. You know, sometimes I cut and paste my scriptures because I use the big font on my paper. I cut it out. I was like, oh, I cut verse 30 out of there. Okay, so we'll read it. Even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. So you know what that tells me? I don't care who you are. I don't care how tough you think you are. Guess what? You're going to grow weary and stumble and fall, okay? And here's the best part. Again, this isn't physical, okay? Okay, be honest. How many of you have teenagers? Well, you should know that. You don't have to be honest. Anybody have teenagers? Anybody been there and done it with teenagers? Okay. Anybody ever grow weary with them? I wanted to leave one on a corner and drive away. It wasn't me. It wasn't Sherry. This morning, maybe. I'm right. Okay. All right. Okay. So yeah. And you, I just want to say, enjoy the twos. Twos are a piece of cake. All right. So, to be honest, I grew weary. And then I decided I'd believe this, that I would call on God to give me strength, to give me wisdom. And I learned how to pray. Like, I went up 10 notches because of teenagers. But it's really nice to learn it ahead of time. Alrighty. So what he's saying is, it doesn't matter who you are, what problems, how young, how old, you might just grow weary. And he says, I will infuse you with hope, and then you can make it through it. And it wasn't until I crashed and lifted up and said, God, I'm chucking them off the roof. I need some help. And God did. I did, okay? And I had hope, and they're all doing pretty good now. Amen. All right. Verse 31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. All right. The Amplified says this: those who expect, look for, and hope in the Lord. So that means those that expect, that are going to grab hold of a promise of God. Okay, where are you going to find your promise? You can ask me, I'll tell you where they are. Okay, those that are going to expect, look for, and grab hold of the promise of God and say, hey, God, you said this, and you swore that you would do this. Okay, he says, if you do that, then you're going to receive. And he said, and then, what's the next part? I will, oh, hope. There we go, so cute. Then I'll give you strength. All right, he'll give you strength. Praise God. He'll renew your strength. I like that. So renew here in the Greek means to exchange. So it's okay to say, God, I am weary. God, I am hopeless. God, I am having fear. God, I'm even got some anxiety. And he says, good, give them to me and I'll exchange it with me. I will give you my strength. I will give you my power. I'll even give you my hope. I'll give you my peace. So this is called the great exchange. There's nothing worse than being a dum-dum and holding on to your stuff when you can exchange it, okay? So I just went to a doctor. I was having some issues with my foot, and I needed a new orthotic, and I got my new one. I was so excited. And they handed it to me, and I was like, it was bright purple and neon green, this thing. And I go, I'm sorry, I ordered black, so you can't see them, all right? And I did an exchange, and it was a little awkward, because that's not my nature, is it? No, I was like, I had to go, and they were sweet as pie, and they pulled up my record, and they go, yeah, you ordered black. I said, well, let's exchange it. God is even better and easier, okay? Just say, God, I'm weary. I'm going to be having anxious thoughts. I'm even running into the wall and into the closet of fear. And he'll say, good, give it to me, and I'll exchange you with my hope, my power, my life. Let's go for the big exchange, amen? Okay, so we're going to keep on reading. It's this beautiful picture, verse 31, the last part. It says, they will soar on the wings of eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Okay? So what's he talking about? Every storm that you find yourself in, every promise that you, fall into and pick up and just pulls you down. He said, listen, if you do the exchange with me, I will help you soar like the eagles. I love that. Now, I don't know. I know a little bit about eagles. They fly high, right? They fly high. They fly above the big currents, okay? And there's lots of big currents, and they get above that. And they're while they're up there, they're not like, oh no, oh my gosh, oh no, oh, 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 what am I gonna do? No, watch those eagles, okay? They get above the currents, the problems, the storms, and they just soar. And they do a little wing flap this way, and they go that way. They're not like, okay? That's me. That could be you, but listen. So they get up there, okay? And you know what the coolest thing about them? They can see above and all around. God has washed you in his blood. He has called you by his name. He has seated you in the heavenly places, far above all dominions and darkness and all that stuff. And he wants you to see what he sees. And just go. Okay? Okay. Now, granted, there's still problems going on, right? You still have problems. I'm not in denial. I have some problems going on, okay? But here's the thing. When I do this exchange, when I grab hold of the promise of God, take the promise of God, believe that God said he would, when I do that, then I'm going to soar. I'm not going to be the spazzed out yo-yo crazy lady, okay? So you look at me like, okay, okay. Raise your hand if you want to soar. All right. That is my goal. And I'm telling you, some of you even know me. She's not there yet. okay? But I am, and I know the promises, and I'm telling you, and I am determined that I will grab hold, believe, and soar above the problems, and you will see a happy face. Amen? Okay, so God's promises believed will eliminate hopelessness seen. So I want to give you three things so you can have hope that endures. Hope that when you're in the middle of a problem, when you've got the storms going on, when you got teenagers and the principal calls up and you know their voice. I knew the vice principal's voice. She would just say, "Hello, Mrs. Cashman." I was like, "Oh, it's principal, da-da-da-da-da." Okay. Okay, so why did I tell you that? Okay. Because I want you to have hope that you can endure because you have you know the promise. You let it anchor in your life, okay? So number one thing you can do, okay? Number one thing that you can do, you should do so that you have this hope that just, I'm going to soar, okay? Ready? Write this down. Do everything you can do without God. Some of you are like, "Pastor D, did you just say that?" No, 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 listen. Do everything you can do without God. Pastor D! Okay, well, the obvious is we always start with him, okay? Number one, we're going to start with him. But listen to this. God wants you to do everything in your power without him, such as I have been walking with Jesus for 40-plus years. I know, still looking 26. And I have been in ministry some size and shape for like almost 30 years. And I have had people come up to me all the time and say, "Pastor D, will you pray for me?" I'm like, "Yes, I'll pray for you." Okay? And maybe they're having a physical problem. So we pray and we take the promise. Okay? And we pray 1 Peter 2:24 with Jesus' stripes. And we pray another one of those prayers. Okay? And then we give thanks for God's, what his promises say over that person. All right? And then I'll see that person a couple weeks later, and I go, "Hey, how you doing?" "Oh, nothing's changed. It's terrible." Then I will say, "Did you go to the doctor?" "Oh, I can't go to the doctor. I wouldn't be in faith if I went to the doctor." You know, if I went to the doctor, then I would not be believing God. And I'm like, happy face when I think. Okay, but I'm thinking, why do you? You know, it kind of drives me crazy, all righty? Because I want to say, "What are you nuts?" Because I want to tell them, no, it is not no faith to go and get some help from doctors. Amen? Amen. So, okay. Then I have people with financial problems, and they'll go, "Pastor D, I got a mess. My finances are a mess." I said, "Good, let's do that Philippians Brian read, okay? My God shall supply all of my needs according to his resources." And we take that promise. We thank you, God. We give you praise. And then we pray, and they go off. And then I see them, and I even do this before. This is one of those I do before. So they tell me they got their finances in a mess. And then I say, "Because not everybody's got an income problem. Some of them have a spending problem." So I say, "Hey, you need to go to a financial counselor." And I'm not it, but you need to go to a financial counselor. You need to go, all right? "Well, Pastor D, that would be just unbelief, okay? Because I'm believing that God will meet all my needs." Well, baby, every couple months you're going to be up there running to God because maybe you need to make some changes on how you spend it. Amen. Good preaching, Pastor D. Okay. Then I get these people with marriages problems, okay? And they're like, "Pastor D, would you pray for my marriage?" So we pray, "God, would you fix their marriage?" And then I always say, always, 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 "And go to a marriage counselor." And they're like, "No, because I'm believing God to fix my marriage." Just maybe you need to be fixed. All right? So that's why I tell them to go to a counselor. Amen? All right. So I've watched people do this over and over for the years. Anybody? No, none of you guys. Anybody know people, right? Okay. And the Bible says we need to make every effort. We need to make every effort that we can. God has a big part. Y'all have a big part. Okay, so turn over to Proverbs chapter 18. This is out of the Amplified. I really like this, Proverbs 18. And Proverbs 18, verse 9. Okay, Proverbs 18, verse 9. "He who is loose and slacking, lazy, okay? Lazy, slack in his work is a brother to him who is a destroyer. Okay, so you got a person who's a destroyer, like they key cars, okay? That's bad, that's a destroyer. And he's using the analogy and he's saying, keep reading. It's, by the way, so someone who's lazy is like that. They're a destroyer. Someone who's slack, and we'll tell you in what, is like a destroyer. Destroyer of what? Destroyer of your life. Destroyer of people's lives, all right? The next part goes like this. He who does not use his endeavors or his actions to heal himself is a brother to him who commits suicide. Okay, so what he's saying? It's suicidal not to help yourself. What's that? I've heard this, and I'll do the Cashman version of it. Some guy's out in the middle of the ocean, his boat's capsized, and he's calling for help. He's calling for help, and a little rowboat comes up, and they throw him, what's that round thing called? Life preserver. And he's going, help, help, help. And the guy's going, grab the life preserver. And the guy in the water who's driving, help, help, help. Okay? We have a part to play. Get some help, all right? All right. Praise the Lord. Suicidal, not nice. So there's some positive things we can do. There's some positive things we can do to help ourselves. Now, my dad had asthma, emphysema, and later in life had some heart disease going on. And so he was on oxygen. He'd get up in the morning, go to work, come back, go on oxygen, and he'd sit there and smoke cigarettes. Now, I didn't know better. I used to think he's going to go boom in the night, you know. But they say that doesn't happen. But I was like, Dad, all right? And how many of you know people that are dealing with problems and you're like, just do this, all right? How about eating better? Little Debbie is not your girlfriend. Not to be hanging with her. If you don't know Little Debbie, those are those things filled with all sorts of things, okay? So how about you do that green smoothie thing, like kale and spinach instead of Little Debbie? Yeah. Throw dark chocolate in there. Just so much better, all right? Pastor Sherry makes drinks one that's kind of, okay. So why would you do that, Little Debbie? No. Why would you do the smoothie thing? To help yourself. Exercise. Exercise. If you don't use it, I am finding out you lose it. And that's why I had this problem going on here. So I'm learning, I have to exercise my foot. Silliest thing out, all right? So why? Do everything that you can on your part. That's all I'm going to say. So I love to tell people, hey, let's pray. Let's take God's promises. Let's believe them. Let's give them thanks. But do what you can do. Amen? Grab the life preserver. Praise God. And the Apostle Paul, guess what? He wrote 3/4 of the New Testament, and he believed the same thing. Yep. So he had this mentor. You know, he was mentoring this young guy, Timothy, and I am probably positive that he prayed for Timothy. Timothy was sick, and I'm probably guaranteed that Timothy prayed for Timothy, all right? And it didn't look like anything was changing. Open up to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 5. 23. Some of you are going, I can't believe she's going to preach this scripture. Hang on, all righty? 1 Timothy 5:23. Drink water no longer exclusively. Everybody say exclusively. Okay, key word. But use a little wine for the sake of your stomach and your frequent illnesses, all right? Now, some people read this and they're like, God didn't heal. No, I just believe it's going to take some time, all right? And then God's going to give them some direction here, righty? So in the Bible days, wine was like a medicine, okay? That was one of their medicines, all right? And this is the Paul the Apostle telling Timothy, who he turned over this church of like 100,000 people. And he goes to him and he says, hey, Timothy, you got this issue with your stomach from drinking probably just water. And you know, have you ever been to countries where they say, don't drink the water? I found out they meant it. All right? Yeah. Haiti. We went to Haiti. Dear Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay. A lot of us figured out they meant it, okay? So back to Paul. Paul's telling Timothy, hey, stop drinking water exclusively. Now I want you to drink some wine for your frequent stomach stuff going on. All righty? Now, so today, how do we translate that today? Yeah. So yeah, thank you. I put Rolaids, all right? So I know where we could go. So just take some Rolaids and Pepto-Bismol, or just drink the green smoothie, as you know, to help yourself out. Okay, that's how we can translate it today. And some Bible translations come out and they go like this. Don't drink water, just drink wine. And you show up to work all glassy-eyed. Let me tell you how long you're going to have your job because you just drink wine because the Bible said don't drink water anymore. It didn't. It says don't drink water exclusively. Drink a little wine for your frequent, okay? Everybody know where I stand on that? Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. Praise the Lord. So we do natural things, but we got to connect with God. And I will tell you, do both. Everybody say do both. Natural things and connect with God. So here's my point number two. Ready? Pray the promises. Pray the promises, and this is the key part. And thank God. Thank God until it appears. All right? Pray the promises. And thank God it appears. So our main idea was God's promises believed will eliminate hopelessness seen, all right? And remember what Hebrews said, that God said, this is my promise, and I swear I will keep my promise. So we're going to pray the promise and then thank God until we can see it. Amen? So turn over to Philippians 4. I love Philippians 4. So many good stuff. Philippians 4, verse 6. When you know the promise, hold on to the promise because you got the promise. And God said he'd keep the promise, right? So grab hold of the promise. Here we go. Philippians 4, 6. Do not be anxious for anything. Anxiety is a lack of peace, and therefore you don't have hope. So backtrack to the promise. Anxiety is a lack of peace and therefore a lack of hope. Alrighty? Okay, so do not be anxious for anything, but in every situation, every problem, every teenager, every finance thing, everything that you're going on, okay? In every situation, by prayer and petition. So that's you going to God. God, this is what's going on. I need your help, all right? With thanksgiving, present your request to God. So what God is saying, bring my promise to me and believe it, and then he's saying, I want you, then I'll do it, all right? And the second part, with thanksgiving. So if I believe the promise, God, you said that you would supply all my needs according to your resources, okay? And I'm doing my part. I cut back on the spending, all right? Ta-da! All right, I'm going to be real good on Christmas this year, all righty? Okay, and so I know the promise, I receive the promise, I pray the promise, and then I'm going to give thanks. God, you're doing it. God, you're doing it, all righty? So thanksgiving has to always connect with the promise. Thanksgiving has to connect with the promise. Everybody say connect. All right? Sometimes you just can't be walking around, oh, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Well, what are you thanking him for? Oh, no, I forgot. The promise, okay? I promise, all right? So when you know the promise, when you believe the promise, you'll give thanks. And at that moment, fireworks, I have hope. Why? Because I believe the promise. And I'm giving thanks. So therefore, I'm in hope. I'm not hopeless anymore, even though it looks like I don't see anything. So I got to know the promise, pray the promise, believe the promise, give thanks, and you should be able to walk over here full of hope and peace. Amen? Amen. All right. That's why Jesus said in Mark 11:23, whatsoever thing you desire, when you pray, believe that you've received them and you'll have them. All right? There's a believing going on there, okay? So this is why how we simply say it. God, don't you love when your little kids come up to you and you go, Mom, Dad's set. I could have that candy. All right? We get to do this with God. All right? God, everybody point your finger. God, you said. All right? You can do that. God, you said, you said this, whatever your this. I'm praying it. I'm believing it. And now I'm thanking you. All right? I'm thanking you. Okay? What am I thanking him? You keep your promises. Okay? And right there, I have hope. I have peace. Praise God. Okay, read verse 7. And the peace of God, which transcends, or one translation says supersedes, all understanding. Okay, the anxiety, the fear, okay, it transcends that, okay? And the peace of God, which transcends all understandings, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. I love this. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Peace, when you get peace, you always get connected to hope. If you don't know where peace is, you definitely don't going to have hope. So you have peace when you know the promises of God, and it connects with hope, and then you have hope. So peace and hope go together, all righty? So what does the Bible say we need to do? We need to pray the promise. Not meh, 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 meh. Okay, no, tell me the promise. And by the way, Google knows the promises. I talked to Google. Google, what's the promise about healing? He rattles them off, all right? Or go to our bookstore. Amen. We got little books, big books, medium-sized books that just give you the promises. Who did I just give one of those books to? I forgot who that. Okay, yep. Promises for your teenagers. Promises for your wife. We got a book on that one. With just scriptures. Promises for your husbands. Promises for your joy. Okay, so you're gonna find the promises. You're going to pray the promise. And then you're going to give thanks to the promise keeper who keeps his promise. And then I'm just going to have peace and joy. Peace and joy. Peace and joy. All right? And that will bring me into peace and joy. And do you know what I found? Once I know the promise and I believe the promise, and I start thanking him, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, I find these worldly thoughts don't even come at me. I'm like, been there, done that. I know God, and that's settled. It is just settled. It is just settled, all right? But listen, guys, what are you filling your brain with? Fill it with what God promises. Grab hold, say, God, Daddy, you said, all right? Give him thanks, and then get into this place of hope. All righty. Praise God. Old Testament prophet, his name is Habakkuk, and he wrote this really interesting principle, and it's found in Habakkuk 3:17. Turn over there. He wrote about what happens if everything in your life is falling apart, if everything in your life is blowing up, and then he gives the answer. So Habakkuk 3:17. Here we go. Even though the fig trees are all destroyed and there's neither bloom left or fruit, though the olive crops all failed and the fields lie barren, even though the flocks die and the fields and the cattle barns are empty. Okay, this is an agricultural society, all right? How would you translate to today? Even though they closed down my job, even though I've used up all my savings, even though I don't have any money left, even though the house, okay? That's what he's describing, okay? So everybody on the 20th century, what it's looking like, all right? So then I have to ask a question. If that happened to your life, your finances, you don't have an income, you used all your savings, they robbed this and that blew up, what would you think? God, why did you let that happen? I did a long time ago. I'd be blaming God. I don't like that, but, you know, people blame God. So, but listen to verse 18. Verse 18. Okay, so again, everything is falling apart. Everything in your life has fallen apart. Things that you thought were good have fallen apart. Verse 18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be happy in the God of my salvation. That sounds crazy, doesn't it? yet in the middle of everything is blown up, I will be happy. I will praise the Lord. I'm not praising the Lord for the bad things that happen. I am praising the Lord. Why? Because he promises he's going to get me out. So verse 19, the Lord is my strength. Again, this isn't physical. This is like the emotional, that I'm not going to quit. The Lord is my strength. He will give me the speed of a deer and bring me safely over the mountains. If you know the promise, whatever's going on in your life, okay, if you believe that promise, you will thank God, okay, and you will be joyful. Okay? You'll be happy because you know the promise. You believe the promise. You know the promise keeper. He said, I will, all right? Now, I'm not always perfect at this. Raise your hand if you see me not perfect at this. Don't raise your hand, okay? But I'll tell you what, this is why I said this message just preached me happy. I am determined that I will believe the promise because I know the promiser, and I'm just going to thank him, even if it takes a while. Amen? All right. Here's the last thing, the last point. Here we go. Number three, this is what we do. Focus on scriptures. Focus on the scriptures and encourage yourself. By the way, this is a lifestyle. You just don't do it once, only on Sunday, once a year, just at Christmas, okay? This is a lifestyle, okay? Focus on the scripture and encourage yourself, all righty? Hebrews 12, it says, Jesus endured the cross, and everybody say, why? Why did he endure the cross? Okay, it was going to be tough. They were going to lie about him, beat him, nail him to a cross. Why or how could he endure the cross? It says, for the joy set before him, for the love set before him. So what was the joy and the love set before him? It was you and I in the future accepting him. He could endure, right? And really bottom dollar is he believed the plan. Okay, we could say he believed the promise so he could endure, all right, with joy. Now, I'm sure he just isn't up there laughing when that was going on, but inside, you know, that emotional, he could endure it, all right? So he focused on the finished product. Raise your hand if you are one of those finished products. And could you imagine he's up there and he's like, gosh, they're not even worth it. I'm not doing this. Okay. All right, he didn't. He could see the future product. He could see man, women, kids, you, me, and I accepting him, and he could endure. Amen? All right. So here's, turn over to Psalm 103, and then we'll wrap up. Psalm 103, many of you know it. The psalmist who wrote this is David, and he's trying to give us something powerful to do. All right. Now, we're a three-part being, and our spirit, man, is going to be encouraging our emotions, okay? Alrighty, so listen to Psalm 103. Whoops, turn the page, here we go. Psalm 103. Oh, my soul, bless God. Oh, now this is David. He's going, oh, my soul, bless God. Okay, what is he doing here? His spirit man is talking to his emotions, and he's saying, oh, my soul, bless God. All right, you got to talk to yourself, righty? And keep reading. From head to toe, I will bless his holy name. From head to toe, I'll bless his holy name. What's he? He says, go start talking about the goodness of God, about the promises of God, about the faithfulness of God. Just everything that you know about God, start talking about it. All righty? And then verse 2 and 3, oh, my soul, bless God. Don't forget a single blessing. He forgives your sins, every one of them. He heals your diseases, every one of them. Okay, go back to that sin thing. He forgives all of your sins. All of my mess ups, he forgives them. I mean, right there, you should be happy. Some of you ought to be really happy. Right? Okay. Now, I could read the rest, but jump down to verse 6 because of time. It says this, God makes everything come out right. He puts victims back on their feet. All right, this is David, and he's talking to himself. Hey, buddy, okay, he's talking to himself. God makes everything come out right. He'll put you on top of the mountain. Alrighty? You need to talk to yourself. This is the one thing that's good about these masks. Well, there's a few. Nobody hears me talking to myself. I'm walking around. Sunday, blah, 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 blah. I am the redeemed. I am healed. I am whole. You don't know what I'm saying. Alrighty? David, listen, he had troubles. Y'all look so sweet next to David. And he said, he talked to himself, hey, buddy, bless God. It's all going to come out right. Alrighty? Sometimes you can't find somebody to encourage you. Alright? They're not around. And that's called encouraging yourself. Talk to yourself. Talk the what God says first and foremost. And if you can't think of what God says, God, you're my dad. It's all going to come out okay. I have a good friend. She's not here this morning. She's in her 70s, and I would call her up crying. Little kids, four little kids, 2 years apart. Dear Jesus. And she would go, oh, Dee, everything's going to be all right. All the time. Some weeks I'd call her up a couple times, okay? Then I got into the Word, and I read this. God, you said everything's going to be okay. If I have a promise, and I know the promiser who keeps his promises, okay, and I'm giving thanks regardless of what I see, y'all had to have, just be happy faces, right? Y'all ought to have happy faces, because if you don't believe the promise keeper, all right? Now, I have had to been slapped silly a few times, Dee, pull it together, you know, okay, all right? But I am determined. I am determined for all of you, okay, that we will not be living in hopelessness and fear and anxiety, but we will live with hope that endures until the day Jesus comes back. And I'm a part of his family. You're a part of his kingdom, and he's going to come back. And then while I'm waiting, happy face, okay? And listen, it doesn't mean I do not have problems. It doesn't mean you don't have problems. But you can just sit in the, okay? Or you can say, God, and find out what his word says, okay? And say, God, you swore that you would keep your promise. Therefore, I will thank you. Therefore, I will sing unto you. Therefore, I will praise you. That it's going to be okay. That I'm not the victim. I'm the victor, and I am seating with you in heavenly places. Amen? Amen. All righty. I think we're going to close right now. I do not make light some of y'all, the problems that are going on in your life. Some of you have called me up and had a phone call this week. It brought me to my knees and cried. It was so hurtful what had happened in this person and this problem, okay? The storm, okay? So I'm not making light, but you have a Father who is faithful. His word will not return void. And he said, if I be for you, who can be against you? He said, all of my promises are yes, not no, maybe. Yes and amen. So sometimes you have to, definitely all the time, pull yourself up, blow your nose, and go to the word. Okay? So, Father, I thank you that you are a Father of love that never gets weary. And therefore, Father, you love us. You have answers. You have strength. You have hope. You have peace. And today, Father, we just lay some of these situations and problems in our life. We lay them before you, and we exchange them. And we say, God, I thank you that you'll turn this thing around for your glory. I thank you, Father, that you'll make the crooked places straight. I thank you, Father, that with the stripes of Jesus, healed and whole. I thank you, Father, that the mess that I got into with my finances, I thank you, Father, you're moving as I do some adjustments too. I thank you, Father, that you are who you say you are and you love us forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Now just be really quiet. Just let the Holy Spirit just talk to you. He's not going to slap you and condemn you, but right now just let him encourage you and maybe some of the situations you're in. Just get really quiet. Yep. So I already had the message, so he's already encouraged me, so that's why I'm so happy today. But thank you. Thank you, Father, for your word that is a light, that is an encouragement, that gives direction. Thank you. We thank you that you love us. I thank you that, Holy Spirit, you are speaking to people right now with the answer and just infusing them again with hope because of who you are. Amen. Okay, one more thing. Maybe you're here and you don't even have hope that's eternal. That was week number one. And what I mean by that is that we have a God. His name is Father. He's my dad, all right? He's my dad, and he had a plan when everything blew up that he would send his son Jesus to rescue us and to give us eternal life, an eternal home. I always say, I got a forever home. I had to move out of my big home into this townhouse. Everybody said, do you love it? I said, nope, I love my forever home. Heaven's just my forever home. I love it. I just love it, all right? Not this stuff, okay? Sorry, got distracted here. So my question is, do you have an eternal hope? If you've been here, maybe you've heard a couple of weeks, like I've heard this lady, and today just the Holy Spirit's talking to you, and you're like, I don't, but I want an eternal hope. And God was so precious. He said, if you would believe, real simple. It doesn't make it complicated. If you would believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he would save you, he would wash your sins away, and you'd be a part of his family forever. God's your father. Jesus is your big brother. The Holy Spirit is like on with you, all right? So if you're here today and just the Holy Spirit's talking to you and you're like, Pastor D, I want to have this eternal hope. I want to know that if I would die, that I'd have forever with him. So if that's you, why don't we pray this prayer? And everybody that's done this before, you pray it out loud. If you're praying this for the first time, because the Holy Spirit, you know, I can't convict you. I can't tie you. I can't make you. But you get this little soft spot on the inside where you're like, yes. Yes, okay? He'll do it, and all we have to do is pray. Just speak these words, okay? These words will bring life. So everybody say, Lord God, I'm a sinner, and I know I need Jesus. And Jesus, I know that you died for my sins and the sins of the world. And today, I ask you to come into my heart and my life and be the Savior. Better yet, be my Savior, be my Lord. Now, and I will follow you all the days of my life. Amen. Jesus, you are my Lord. I'm now a child of God, and heaven is my forever. Amen. Okay, look at me real quick. If you prayed this prayer, a miracle took place. You may not look different. Some people cry. Not everybody does, okay? But a miracle took place in your heart. All right? And it says that heaven celebrates when one comes back into the family of God. So why don't we just go, thank you. 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 You know, and so just a real pointer, we have Bibles in the back. Who's in the back? Scott, raise your hand. Scott over there will give you a Bible if you need a Bible, especially if you pray this for the first time. Start in the New Testament, Book of John. That's what Grandma always says. Start in the Book of John, all right? And every day, and this is what I tell everybody. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, grab a Bible and on the inside of it, write it down. Today, what's today's date? November 22nd, 2020, best thing about 2020, I became a child of God forever. And every day open up that cover and you read that on November, okay? All righty, and come and let me know. I want to give you a high five and just talk with you. You all are so precious. How many of you enjoyed worship today, too? Woo! Praise God, praise God. Amen. If you would like prayer, we got some elders up here, and just go have coffee and hang out. I believe some of them are decorating. If you want to help decorate, stick around. Praise God. We love you. See you next week.
Can give.